Rennie Ferguson. Did I pronounce Rennie right?
Yep.
All right. She is an injury epidemiologist at Safe Kids Worldwide. She previously served as an educator and program associate at the National Capital Poison Center at Washington, D.C. She received her Master of Health Science and Certificate of Public Health Preparedness at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And we don't have a cheer like Go Blue at Hopkins.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here presenting some recent research done at Safe Kids Worldwide on distracted walking among teenage pedestrians. I have no financial relationships to disclose. First off, I'd like to thank my co-authors on the project at Safe Kids Worldwide, and I'd also like to thank the 24 Safe Kids coalitions who have participated in this project. For those of you who aren't familiar with Safe Kids, our mission is to prevent unintentional injuries among children 19 and under. We have 500 coalitions in the U.S., and we work in 25 countries. The coalitions are formed with a lead agency, like a children's hospital or a health system or a fire department, but many of them are, you know, working with their coalitions on a volunteer basis. So there are volunteers that make up these coalitions. So the fact that they wanted to participate in this project was really great. I want to thank our program sponsor, FedEx, as well as two experts who provided their thoughts on this project, Charlie Zeger at UNC and Angela Nicolaide at Children's National. As a bit of background, we've made terrific progress in reducing the number and the rate of pedestrian deaths among children 19 and under. In the year 2000, 740 children ages 19 and under died from pedestrian injuries. By 2012, that had fallen to 490. But we're seeing a subset of this population who is at increased risk. So the next few slides come from a 2012 Safe Kids analysis of NHTSA GES data looking at pedestrian injuries. It compared the number of injuries among children 19 and under from the period 2006 to 2010 to the 5 years previous. So they found that for children ages 1 to 4, there was a 31% decrease in the number of non-fatal injuries. For children ages 5 to 9, so this is sort of school age, we also saw a decline in the number of injuries. For children ages 10 to 15, it was a slightly smaller decrease in the number of injuries. By the time we get to children ages 16 and 19, we saw a 25% increase in the number of pedestrian injuries. So we were thinking about what some of the possible explanations for this could be. So one is that more teens have cell phones than they used to. So 78% of teens ages 12 to 17 have cell phones. 37% own a smartphone. This is from Pew Research, and it's from 2012, and they found an increase from the years before that. We know from other research, observational research, that there's a relationship between texting and crossing behaviors. So one study found that pedestrians who were texting while crossing the street were almost four times more likely to cross unsafely, so cross mid-block, not look both ways when they're crossing. Finally, with this population of teenagers, you can't discount sleep deprivation. So a study found that among 14 to 15-year-olds, those who didn't get enough sleep were more frequently struck by virtual cars or had more near misses in a virtual walking environment than children who got enough sleep. So we had a few study questions that we wanted to answer. The first one was, what proportion of middle and high school students cross streets and school zones while using a mobile device? We wanted to know which mobile devices were most frequently used. We were curious to know if there's a difference in mobile device use in the fall versus the spring. We think of the spring as activities like graduation, prom, spring break, so we hypothesized that there might be more distraction in the spring time period. And finally, is there any relationship between modifiable factors, such as traffic light devices, and non-modifiable factors like gender and mobile device use? So our 24 coalitions set out. They were asked to have at least two adult observers. We asked them to pick busy locations, busy crossings in school zones. We asked them to complete observations in both the fall and the spring, two morning and two afternoon observation sessions at different days, but at the same time, and a 45-minute observation period that was timed with when the bell rang. And so on the right here, we have the observation table that was used for data collection purposes. So the definition of distraction that we used was dividing one's attention or focus because of the use of an electronic device such as a cell phone, headphones, tablet, or MP3 player. This excludes non-electronic distractions such as talking with friends, reading a book while walking, or playing with the ball. We also asked them to collect data on the type of crossing, whether it was mid-block or an intersection, if there was a crosswalk available and if students were using it, if there was a crossing guard present, and traffic control devices like stoplights. So as mentioned, this research took place in 24 communities at 48 middle schools and 20 high schools. A little over 19,000 observations of middle school students were collected, and almost 15,000 observations of high school students. We found that 12% of middle school students, so 1 in 8, were observed to be walking while distracted, and 20%, or 1 in 5, high school students were observed to be distracted. And I'll mention that the difference was found to be significant. We did not find a significant difference by semester, so there goes our crazy spring break theory out the window, but we thought that was interesting nonetheless. We found some differences in the types of mobile devices used by students who were distracted. For middle school students, we found that talking on the phone was more common among distracted students than high school students. Maybe this doesn't come as too much of a surprise for people who know high school students who don't use their phone at all for talking. It's just for texting. But we thought this was interesting. And we were interested that listening to music on headphones was more common among distracted high school students than middle school students. We set up a logistic regression analysis, and we found that when we controlled for the school type and the characteristics of crossing, so the environmental characteristics, the odds of females crossing the street distracted were 1.24 times the odds for males. And we found that when a crossing guard was present, that the odds of crossing the street while distracted were greater than when a crossing guard was not present. So this leaves us with some more questions and thoughts. So the first one being that mobile device use is happening in pedestrians around middle schools. So this behavior is starting young, and we wonder if the middle school time is sort of a window where kids are becoming more autonomous, they're making their own decisions about how they're walking and getting around their communities, but they're not yet at the point where they're not receptive to input and knowledge and advice on how to stay safe. Secondly was the interesting finding about males versus females. We were interested to see that distracted walking was more common among females than males, but what we know from the fatality data nationally is that male teens have a death rate almost twice that of females. So this might add to the debate over are women better at multitasking than men? And we can't answer that with this data, but we thought that was interesting. And certainly there are many other behaviors that could be putting people at risk. Finally, the crossing guard finding. So that distraction was more common when a crossing guard was present. And we wonder if this is a sense of security, that people are in a protected bubble while they have an adult supervising them as they cross the street. Nothing bad can happen to them, but we thought that was very interesting. There were some limitations and challenges to the research. The first one being that there's gaps in information in the national fatal and non-fatal injury data for pedestrians. So we don't know how many of these injuries occur as a result of distraction or where distraction was one factor in the crash. Secondly was the quality assurance of the observations. This was carried out by Safe Kids coalitions, some of whom are affiliated with universities, but some are fire departments. They are working in their communities. They're grassroots educators. So I'm very confident that they did a good job. But if we were to redo this study protocol, I think we would have built in more education for the observers. And finally was the data recordation. So we found that when we were getting data entry forms back in, that there's some issues where people were distracted by more than one type of technology. So that was recorded in various ways, and it made the cleaning of the data a little bit more difficult. So again, if we plan to redo this work, that's something that we would build in. At Safe Kids, education and awareness is a significant part of what we do. So as a result of the research, there was a national campaign called the Moment of Silence. And so there's an online pledge to put devices down and to put heads up when crossing the street. And so students and parents could take this pledge. In addition to the national campaign, there's a community level program, discussion groups in schools, and a school contest. These are students who entered in the contest, got some very interesting entries. The idea was to create sort of an awareness message for other teenagers, to really engage them with the topic of pedestrian safety, which is new to a lot of teens. And I'll say that program is now in 60 middle schools in the U.S., and they're planning to get results back in early 2015 from how that goes. So thanks for your time, and I'm happy to take a few questions.
Thank you very much.